141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Odson Edouard is named the Player of the Month for January. Steven Gerrard could be without Borna Barisic for the trip to Kilmarnock, and Hamilton and Aberdeen meet in South Lanarkshire. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Roger Hanna.
And there's a midweek card starting in less than 2 hours' time. Derek McInnes facing one of the biggest fixtures of his 7 years as Aberdeen manager. If they don't score at Hamilton tonight, Gordon, it will be the worst goal scoring record in the club's 117-year history. And then 24 hours on, Celtic league leaders at home to bottom of the table Hearts. Rangers go to Kilmarnock in the televised fixture. Another scintillating midweek card. But of course, Scottish football, before all of that, unites, as this show does, passes on our best wishes to Jackie McNamara and his family.
Yeah, well said. High profile figures from across the game coming together today to do just that, Neil Lennon being one of them. So you'll hear that a bit later on in the show. Gordon, it might not be for everyone. If you take a winter break, you need to cram fixtures in elsewhere. But for us, it means we've been absolutely spoiled rotten, because every Tuesday, you and Roger come back here. We've got the memories of the weekend fresh in the minds. But you don't have time to dwell on it. You're straight back into big games come Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, the games are coming thick and fast, Gordon. It's obviously a testing time for, well, not probably Celtic and Rangers, because they've got massive squads, but for other teams that don't carry the same amount of players and the quality that Celtic and Rangers have got, you've just got to do your best. And it's exciting. There's a lot of great football. It's a good game tonight. Wonder just with the weather conditions, Brian Rice not too happy and the fact that football should be played in this sort of weather. I see his point of view, but then we've got a fixture card tomorrow night. A lot of difficult games. Rangers going down to Kilmarnock, Celtic host Hearts, St Mirren. You've got playing. You've got Motherwell up at St Johnstone, and you've just looked at me there, Gordon, because I've completely forgot who St Mirren was playing there.
Livingston.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Apologise to Livingston there.
That's fine.
But it just goes to show, it's the age old argument. We had a winter break there after the fixtures in December 29, and a lot of the clubs headed away to warm weather training camps. And the weather here wasn't too bad. We could have been getting on with some football. And then a month on, when the football is back and we have these midweek cards, you have this horrible weather storm. Kira turns into Storm Dennis. The Peterhead game lasted, what, half an hour at the weekend because of the winds. And Lady Brian Rice, and I think other managers have echoed it as well, that, you know, should we be playing football in the eye of the storm, Gordon?
But do you know, when football players come in, sometimes for a bit of criticism, getting it too easy, Gordon, you've got to say well done to them. They got on it. They got on about their business. They go out there and they play in the conditions. That's what you have to do. And to be fair, there have been some entertaining games as well. So it's all about the title race is surely on now. A lot of big, big games coming up tomorrow night as well, and then back to Saturday. We're looking forward to it on Sunday, obviously.
The number you need to get in touch is 0141 951 1025. Don't hang about. Let's hear from you tonight. Tell us what is on your mind. And if you would rather tweet, then you can do that at Clyde SSB as well. First point for us today would be the award for the Player of the Month going to Odson Edouard. I don't think any great surprise there. But Neil Lennon says he's now bracing himself for bids for Celtic's top scorer. The manager believes there's still better to come.
Well deserved. He's been brilliant. You know, so I hope that gives him, you know, another confidence boost, if you want to call it that. We'll give him a break at the weekend, and, you know, hopefully he'll be in good form going into tomorrow night's game.
Can you hold on to him beyond the summer?
I don't know. We've had no inquiries for him, but I'm sure somewhere down the line for a player of that calibre there will be. He's super talented. You know, he's up there. You know, he could play a Premier League, he could play in the Champions League. You know, no question of the form that he's in, and at 22, he's got it all in front of him, you know, so I just hope he keeps getting better and better with us.
Gordon, there are a couple of players in our league at the moment that keep producing. Every time they play, or every couple of weeks, they produce something. So we keep talking about them, and it's almost hard to say something new. Everyone acknowledges Odson Edouard. Good, he's had all the praise he can get. He's getting the personal awards. Is it 7 goals in his last 6 games? What more can you say about this guy at the moment?
You find it very hard, Gordon. I do agree with Neil Lennon. I think that Celtic will be tested in the summer, because there are clubs out there that would love someone with the talent. He's 22 years of age. He's only going to get better. So no matter what the price is, any club with the money that obviously the English clubs have got, especially down there, coming in, it's money probably well spent, because this guy is getting better and better and better. He's the top player just now. Of that, there's no doubt. And he's just improving. I think the biggest thing, I've said it from day one, is the fact of his link-up play now. It's just superb. And I think he brings so much to Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, Edouard has been the outstanding player in the Celtic team again this season. As you say, Gordon, Alfredo Morelos has been an outstanding player in the Rangers team this season. And the Celtic and Rangers fans, they should really enjoy these players while they're here, because with the limitations of the Scottish domestic league and limitations and the money that the clubs can pay in terms of wages, etc., they will sooner or later move on to clubs. I'm not going to say bigger clubs, because you scarcely get bigger clubs, but they'll move on to clubs in bigger leagues. And I think it's important that the Celtic fans enjoy Edouard, the Rangers fans enjoy Morelos while they're here, and meanwhile the two recruitment departments try and find the next Edouard and the next Morelos for the moment when they are sold down the line.
Yeah, Neil Lennon bracing himself for bids then. Celtic fans, let's hear from you. Is there still a confidence there? Is there still a belief there that Celtic can actually come up with something to keep him beyond the summer? Or are you resigned to perhaps parting ways? And by the way, before anyone dives in, this is not us trying to move him on, it's just a compliment. Everyone acknowledges that he's clearly going to get interest because he's playing so well. So what do you think? Is there still a belief there that you could maybe pull something out of the bag and keep him beyond the summer? Tell us now. 01419511025. It is another midweek fixture, of course. Hearts are the visitors tomorrow for Celtic. Game's coming around quickly, and the manager is delighted to be getting some players back.
Got a few players back, you know. Hearts, him and Neer are back in training, and obviously Moy and Ryan got a run out at the weekend. So, you know, for Hatem and Neer, tomorrow might be too early. But the rest of the squad's fine in terms of, you know, there's no new fresh injuries from the weekend.
Are you getting all these players back at the right time with the Europa League's coming back round as well?
Yeah, I mean, getting them back at any time's a good time, you know, but obviously with the influx of games coming up, then it's great to have them all back.
01419511025. Ian is a Celtic fan. He's first up tonight. Hi, Ian.
Hi there, Gordon. Hi, Gordon and Roger, is it? Hi,
Ian. Yes.
Hi, Ian.
Just wanted a couple of points, Gordon, but a wee shout out to two of my pals. My pal David is working out in Liberia. He's still got 8 weeks to go till he can see him. And I can't wait to the 15th of May, the last Premier League game of the season at St James's Park, and keep my big pal down home, his wife there, in November. We're going down to see the Newcastle Liverpool game. So, Archie, be prepared for the two that's coming down, mate. We're looking forward to it.
Can you just phone him anyway? Can you just phone him and tell him?
No, he knows. He knows they're coming, mate.
He knows now.
Certainly knows now. Everybody knows.
No, I've already organised it.
Good man. What's your point,
mate? Anyway, you're talking at the top of the show here about Ozan Edouard. Right, let's be hypothetical here. Right, he's playing in Scotland. But put the boy's shoes into English football. Now, Roger, journalist, Gordon, played the game. And don't remember yourself, Gordon Duncan, but
nah, just watch on.
Watch it anyway. Motherwell supporter as well, I think, ain't you?
Mm-hmm.
So playing in England, playing with a lower ranked team in England, and the big teams would be looking at him if he was not rich in a form, you would probably be looking at 40, 50, 60 million. That's just my opinion. But leaving Scotland, no, I don't want him to go in the summer. But it's possible. And there's another player across the city. It's possible it can go on. But the next 5 weeks is crucial for both clubs. Not just the Premiership, the Scottish Cup, but we've got a big ask in European football. The two of them have got a chance of getting to the last 16, which is going to put their coefficiency up to number 12. Roger, could you verify that for me? 13, 12,
I think 13 was mentioned, Ian. Yeah, we could go as high as that.
It might
and then
go to 12, Roger.
The season after next, that might allow two teams from the SPFL Premiership into the qualifying section for the Champions League, yeah.
Yeah, but who's Gordon, the three is obviously it's possible the two of them could get to last 16, and that's going to put it up again.
Yep.
And who's to say they don't get a bad tie in the next round? But possibly they can draw one another, because after that, everything's lifted. Any club can play a team for England.
Yeah, yeah, same country and stuff. Yeah, that's right. This show will be lively if that happens. Clearly a lot to happen before we get there. Where Ian is bang on the money, Roger. See, if you take the next, I don't know what it would be, 4-5 weeks, what an incredibly important time that's going to be. Because if you restrict yourself to the Premiership, we'll find out when we get to that next Old Firm game, what is that gap? Have Rangers managed to close it? Have they managed to keep it where it's at? Or actually, have Celtic stretched it to a level where even victory in the remaining two Old Firm games wouldn't guarantee anything for Rangers? You would have the outcome of the next round of the Scottish Cup and Europe as well, as Ian says. So you always talk about the business end. It's a bit of a cliche, but we're entering an incredibly important part of the season.
Of course we are. And everything is it still in everyone's own hands, if you like. I think there's a 7-point gap just now. Rangers have a game in hand. So for Rangers to win every league game this season, Rangers would be champions. You know, likewise, it's still within Celtic's hands to go and win 9 in a row. They've been separated in the cup competition. I actually wondered if we were going to get a quarter-final draw involving the two of them, when you saw there was only Celtic, Hearts and Rangers, the last three teams left in that draw on Sunday afternoon. As Ian says, they could potentially meet in the last 16 of the Europa League, if you can imagine that. But his initial point was the award to Odds and Edward. I think from Celtic's point of view, keeping Edward fit and in this kind of form is crucial. And likewise for Rangers, keeping Alfredo Morelos fit and in goal-scoring form is vital. The goal Morelos scored at Hamilton at the weekend probably get ignored, because it just put, you know, as Rangers already leading the game, the goal didn't have the same panache or flair, if you like, as Arfield's, the fourth goal. The Morelos goal's almost been lost in among it all. The Morelos goal for me was the most important of them all, because it was Morelos's first since Boxing Day, since he came back into the team. He's a lad who thrives on scoring goals, and you could see Morelos now he's got back among the goals, kicking on and showing the kind of form that Edward has just won a Player of the Month award
for. Don't worry, we'll get to that a bit later on. Stephen Gerrard making a similar point, actually, just on Odson Edward Gordon winning that award this month. Has he, I take it, or has he surpassed what you thought he would become at Celtic? If you think back to, you know, when he first signed with the big price tag, how far is he surpassing what you thought?
Miles for me, Gordon. Yeah. Even when I watched him last season, I thought, yeah, there's still a bit of improvement there. You've still a bit to work on your game. And I keep saying it, Gordon, about his link-up play. I don't think his ability to goodbye people and put the ball in the back of net was ever in question. I think he's a very talented boy. He's got tremendous pace. He's got great strength. My biggest, when I looked at him, I thought, yeah, you need to sharpen up when his back's to goal, when he can come off and link up midfield runners and players round about him. I don't know what's happened in the summer, but he's absolutely terrific. If you watch the way they play now with the two up top, Griffiths is the one who'll stay in the shoulder of defenders, and Edward will come into that space between defenders and midfield, and he's absolutely brilliant. And he gives so many problems to defenders. What do? Do they come in there with him and leave the space, or do they drop off? The minute he drop off and he turns and he links up, all of a sudden the defenders are in trouble. I think he's just got the complete game now, to be honest with you. And at 22, I said at the top of the show, he's only got to get better.
Ian, towards the end of last week, we had callers coming on here saying he is Celtic's best since Larson and things like that. High praise. Would you go as far as that?
Yeah. Well, he's not a kick in the backside away from it. It's Gordon's praised the boy. I've got to take my hat off to Gordon for saying that, because he was a striker himself. I was a striker. Wasn't a bad striker when I was at Ibrox as well as a 17-year-old. I mean, I played the same youth team as Ian Durant and Derek Ferguson, so that's high praise for me. But Odson Edward, terrific dead ball situation. He's got nimble feet. He's got fast feet for a. I think he's about 6'3", 6'2". And as I say, we're talking about the two strikers' comparisons. Roger said he's probably the best striker, the best player in Scotland at the moment. And if I'm correct, I think he's only 5 goals behind Alfredo Morelos now, 29 and 24. And it's good that the competition's there. But Celtic are kicking on to, if you look at the break for last year after Dubai, they kicked on and they, I think they won 11 consecutive games in a trot. And they're on the way to that again. I think that's 7 in a trot, Roger, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. But I think it is important to say that the supporters of both teams should realise that they're currently watching exceptional players. Now, whether you see Edouard as the best since Dembele or the best since Larsen or the best since whoever, we had a discussion in the programme a few Tuesdays ago. Morelos was the best Rangers striker since, and you were to fill in the name. You know, some people said the best since Jelovic, some people said the best since, you know, whoever. Someone back and said he was the best since Ali McCoist. Whatever your thoughts are, Edouard and Morelos are exceptional footballers, and they're leading the title charges for their two teams, and they're scoring all manner of goals, over 50 goals between them, and we're still only in the second week in February. We're dealing with exceptional talent here, Ian.
Thanks to Ian in Greenock. Just to finish off with Neil Lennon, many figures across Scottish football speaking out on something which I think everyone will agree is putting our daft arguments about the game into perspective. Jackie McNamara struggling to find his way back to full fitness at the moment after collapsing at the weekend. Neil Lennon offered his best wishes today.
Well, I'm lost for words. You know, I don't know what to say. I spoke to him actually on Tuesday. So I'm just, you know, obviously devastated by the news and, you know, hoping he pulls through. You know, people have been keeping me abreast of things and he's a strong guy, he's a great guy. And, you know, he's a fit boy for, you know, someone of his age, and he's been fit all his life. So, you know, I'm hoping and praying that he comes through okay.
I think Neil Lennon says it better than we could. We would just echo those sentiments, wishing Jackie McNamara well and thoughts with the family as well at this difficult time. 01419511025. This is an ideal time to call. We're going to get some travel with Stephen, then we're going to get the thoughts of Rangers manager Stephen Gerrard. Going to Kilmarnock tomorrow, where do you rank that, Rangers fans? Let's take the obvious, let's take Celtic Park out of the equation. I'm just curious here, what do you see as the most difficult away venue in the Premiership? Forget Celtic Park, because that sort of speaks for itself, but amongst all the other clubs, what's the most difficult away venue? Is it Rugby Park? Is it somewhere else? Good time to get your thoughts in.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hannah and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Don't forget, we've got Tuesday night football in Hamilton. Hamilton Accies against Aberdeen. Almost said Hibs for some reason. Against Aberdeen, we will preview that one a bit later on in the show. Rangers fans wondering how you feel about a trip to Kilmarnock. Is that still a fixture that worries you? There's been difficulties there in the past, and solve my curiosity, what do you see as the most difficult away venue in the league? I'm just curious. Take Celtic Park out of the equation, that's a kind of obvious one. What's the away fixture that fills you with the most dread? I wonder if it is Rugby Park, I wonder if it's Pittodrie or Firth Park, anywhere you decide. Tell us. I'm thinking back to Stephen Gerrard's time, Gordon. If we take it at the moment, surely Rugby Park would be up there for Rangers in terms of difficulty.
Yes, I think also the pitch would play a part in that, Gordon. But you're looking at, where would I say that the most difficult away of take Celtic Park out of the equation for Rangers? I would probably, I'm not having Tynecastle, I know they lost there last time. I would probably
Andrew,
yeah, okay. I would probably
but
say,
but you're not having it.
No, I would probably say the most difficult venue would be Livingston for me.
Pittodrie by a country mile.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I've been at all these places with Rangers and Celtic, and something. Remember back in the day, Richard Gough said Aberdeen always raised their game when they played Rangers. Aberdeen fans raised their game when they play Rangers, and there was just a different. Pittodrie becomes a different place when Rangers go there, even compared to when Celtic go to Pittodrie. So for me, Rangers going to Pittodrie is the hardest.
And obviously the reason I ask it is because it's Rugby Park tomorrow. Would Rugby Park get an honourable mention At the moment, well, I'm not really talking historically, because there will be times when...
I know under Steve Clarke it became awkward, but even in the last, you know, five games, Rangers won there on the first day of the season. I think Alfredo Morelos scored a hat-trick there in a League Cup win as well. I know under Steve Clarke there were a couple of awkward games, but I don't think going to Rugby Park would have the same problems for Rangers that, you know, regularly Morelos, by the way, has a phenomenal scoring record against Kilmarnock. Yep. He scored 11 goals against Kilmarnock. I think the next best is 6 that he scored against Hearts and St Johnstone. So he certainly enjoys going to Rugby
Park.
The thing
I say, Livingston, quite simple for me, Roger, is I think that, you know, players going to Livingston, particularly the both Rangers and Celtic, and I think every team lists their game against Rangers and Celtic, I just think that as a player, it's the one ground that if I was still playing just now, no, I'm not having a dig at Livingston. It's just the way Livingston plays well. They get in about you, you know, they make it very difficult for you. I just think if you ask players, going to Aberdeen, I think going to Pittodrie, great atmosphere, it's a decent pitch, I think that's okay for me.
Like I say, I was just curious, Rangers fans, you're preparing to head to Rugby Park tomorrow. I just wonder what you consider the hardest or one of the hardest away venues in the league. Take Celtic Park out of the equation. What's the fixture away from home that takes your confidence away? Let us know. 01419511025. Stephen Gerrard says Alfredo Morelos is ready to rediscover his top form after getting back to goal scoring ways at the weekend. He's happy to see the burden beginning to be taken off the shoulders of Morelos and Defoe.
Looked all right at the weekend. Played his part in another win. I thought he was looking as if he was getting a lot sharper in the Hibs game. You know, I thought he finished that game really strong, and then he took that form into the weekend, gets his goal, which is always important for a striker. I had a couple of chats with him since we've returned from the winter break, and he seems as if he's okay to carry on playing. We've spoke on quite a few occasions over my time here about not, you know, having the burden on certain individuals all the time, and it is very important that the goals are shared out. It's nice to see centre-backs contributing from set pieces, midfielders joining in, and number 10s, Ryan's numbers are a lot better than last season. So if we can get that collectively around the group, we're going to win more football matches and give ourselves a better chance. I think they'll always put pressure on themselves. Knowing Alfredo like I do, and certainly Jermaine for an awful lot longer, they put the pressure on themselves. That's what strikers do. That's what they get paid to do. So, but as a group, that's what you've got to do. We want the goals to come from all kinds of different areas. We don't want to be a team that relies on one or two individuals, for sure.
Jim is a Rangers fan from Kilmarnock. How are you tonight, Jim?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. I was just driving home from work there, and I was listening to you speaking about Edward, and a lot of you were getting excited on the panel about how he's playing and stuff. We've got a guy that was signed for £1 million, who's outscoring him just now. He was also the top goal scorer in the European the group stages, and we paid £1 million for him, £8 million less than what Celtic said for Edward. I think that's the man that deserves the praise.
Jim, believe it or not, if you praise one of them, it doesn't mean you're not praising the other. You are able to divide it.
Aye, Morelos went through the same spell as Edwards going through. The only one that really mentioned it was Roger, and I think probably you've just went back out at that point because you probably realised Edwards getting all this praise. I don't remember Alfredo Morelos getting all these praises when he was banging the goals in.
He did get a player of the month award. I'm just trying to think what month it was, Jim. It must have been, was it October, November time Morelos got, I think, get a player of the month award as well.
The reason I'm laughing, Jim, is because we got absolutely slaughtered on this show. Slaughtered because we put Alfredo Morelos in our team of the decade. So if you think that this show doesn't give Alfredo Morelos praise for his goal scoring, you're barking up the wrong tree.
I'm not saying you don't give him his praise, but this is a guy that was signed for £1 million who's outscoring this superstar at £9 million. So how much is Morelos going to go for the big clubs is going to come in for him? Because it just seems in this show that Edwards is only the only big club that's going to come in.
Did you hear what I said, Jim, about this show putting Morelos in their team of the decade?
I'm talking about the night. I did hear that.
Oh, just tonight, okay.
I'm talking about the night, but you're showing the night, aye.
Right.
It's funny, we're just talking off air there. I'm going to get a row now from Gordon Duncan for I think somebody must have been fiddling with my car radio, Jim, because when I get into the car this morning, somebody turned it on, and I get 2 minutes of Alan Brazil, who I'm told works for another channel, and Alan Brazil was talking about the Leeds United game tonight, and he made the point that Leeds should have signed Odson Edward in January. Now, when Odson Edward and Alfredo Morelos are finally sold for a lot of money by Celtic and Rangers, they're going to go an awful lot higher than Leeds United. We're just discussing it, Daz, Gordon, myself off air there when the travel was on, what level they could go to. And there's absolutely no doubt, even if they were sold tomorrow, they'll go to a top six team in England. That's how good they are, the two of them. I was trying to say that earlier on the show. At the minute, and sometimes when you're living through history, you don't actually realise that you're living through, you know, such significance. These two guys are special.
Gordon, the truth is, we could get called every single night. Every single night, if we said, right, who's the better out of the two? And we compare, we could keep doing that. We've been there, and I suspect we'll do it again in the future. Roger mentioned something earlier on. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just enjoy them both? I mean, Edouard won player of the month. That's why we were discussing him. He's playing very well. You're going to praise him. That's no slight on Morelos, and vice versa. It would be nice to take a step back and enjoy them both.
I think Celtic and Rangers fans are enjoying them both, Gordon. Sometimes they do get caught up. Who's the better value for money, everything. The first caller, come on, Ian. He was talking about Edouard, and we spoke about him. Now, that's not to say that if Jim comes on and says about, well, I think Morelos is X, Y and Z, I'll be the first to agree, because I think Morelos is a terrific striker as well, Gordon. And I think that we've got the luxury in Scotland of having probably two real top class players playing for Celtic and Rangers. You can only go with what you're seeing. Edouard got player of the month, deservedly so, deservedly so. But Morelos, and we think he's praised for the heavens here about how good he is, his finishing, what he means to Rangers. So we can only talk about individuals at one time.
Let me put it to Jim though, because I'm interested. Is it, you're a Kilmarnock native, Jim, and we were just discussing about whether Rangers fans still consider that as a difficult place to go. What's the away venue in the league that you consider, you know, a real problem for Rangers?
I think Kilmarnock's a hard game for any team, and I don't think it's causing all this. It was hard when Stevie Clark was there. They're obviously playing a lot better than what they are just now. I think the park's got a lot to do with it. I think a lot of teams don't like playing on that park. I think that's more that makes it tougher, but I think it's probably Parkhead. We were at the Parkhead game just at the end of the year, and that's obviously
I meant to say out with that.
Yeah, Aberdeen's and stuff. I think Aberdeen's quite a good one. But just to touch on what Roger was saying, I don't think we'll go to the top. I don't think either of them will go. They'll get a move to the top six teams. I think they'll have to go somewhere first, then prove themselves, then go to one of the top six teams.
I disagree with that, Jim.
Go to the top six.
Jim, I disagree with
that. I respect your opinion, but I don't think they'll go.
I think there is a snobbery, Jim. There is a snobbery down south. So you might be right in so much as they may have to take a step somewhere else before going to the top six. But and just in terms of sheer ability, I think they could cope going to the top six in England
Hold on a minute. If you're talking about the top six teams in England, you're talking at this moment in time, you've got Leicester in there and you get Sheffield United in there. You're not telling me these two guys can't go and play. Now, you can argue, are they going to be there every season? Probably not, but they're there in merit just now. I think that it's not a case of a Southampton or, you know, going to a West Ham. I think these two guys at their age and their ability are capable of going down and stepping into some of these teams, the top teams.
Brad says, Tynecastle Park is clearly the hardest venue for Rangers. No question. The stats don't lie. Dropped 5 points there, 2-1 and 1-1. He puts a wink face after, which makes me think Brad is actually a Hearts fan. But that's fine. That's all right. That's okay. That's allowed, but I just think he's getting a wee mention in there for his team rather than putting it from a Rangers perspective. Can argue that. You can, because you want to, despite the statistics.
No, I think the stats are there, Gordon, and especially this season, and especially a last game when Rangers lost there. So it is hard to argue against. I just think that any teams, the top teams like Celtic and Rangers, as players, and please, I'm not being disrespectful to Livingston, I think the way they go about their business and the job that Gary Holt's doing there is terrific. I just think it's one of these places that players don't look forward to going and playing.
Let's speak to James in Clydebank. Hi, James.
Hey guys, how you doing? Hi,
not James. Bad, James. What made you call in tonight?
Basically the Rangers support that was just on there a few minutes ago talking about odds and Edward. Basically, we bumping these rums saying about Alfredo Morelos, right? I'm a huge Celtic fan. Everybody knows me, how much a Celtic fan I'm, Armin, right? But he's saying that Alfredo, Odson Edouard is getting all the attention. Well, the reason why he's getting all the attention is because Odson Edouard does the damage in the cup finals. He does the damage in all the Old Firm games, and he scores the winning goals in all the big games. Now, I think Alfredo Morelos is a fantastic player. That was even said to Rangers supporters a couple of years ago when he first came in, he was missing all the chances. You know, that's a fantastic player you have got. As well, you just need to give him time and he'll start doing the damage. But basically, that's what I'm saying. That's the reason why Alfredo Morelos is getting mentioned even more than Morelos with the bigger clubs and that. For the fact is, the guy does the damage when it comes to the business end. He does it, and yeah, he's proved it already several seasons. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I'm in danger of repeating myself, Roger, but I do wish we could try and just enjoy both. It doesn't always be a direct comparison.
And listen, I know the point James is making, but the flip side of that coin is Morelos has scored, was it 14 goals in the Europa League, top scorer in the Europa League so far this season. European goals are reasonably hard to come by. I think he's now Rangers' second top goal scorer in their European history behind Ali McCoys. So the only hurdle that he hasn't cleared so far is scoring that goal against Celtic. I mentioned the 11 he'd scored against Kilmarnock. I think he's scored goals against every other top flight team. He's scored goals in you know, big cup ties. And the point James makes is valid. The facts are, he still hasn't scored against Celtic. But James says he used to think he was just about to start doing the damage. Wouldn't surprise me, you know, if he scored goals the next time Rangers played Celtic. He's that type of player. I think it's just one of those little idiosyncrasies of our game that player A hasn't scored against team B. I think it will happen.
James, just finally before we let you go, Neil Lennon talking today about other players coming back in, the likes of El Hamed, not seen him in a while. He's come back into training. El Yunusi back at the weekend, a few others. How are you feeling about the next, say, half a dozen fixtures? Are you optimistic?
I know we've definitely got the players that can do the damage. It's just that's another thing about this season as well. See, if you actually look at your squad, for the start of the season, we've had so many big players out, and we've handled it, and we've been told about how Rangers are coming to get us, We've handled every situation so far, all right. We never handled the cup final, and which we still won at the end of the day in the game at Parkhead. But that was because we probably didn't approach it in the right manner. We were probably starting to get a wee bit gallus because the Rangers tore us apart in the cup final, and we were still able to win. So that's gave them a wee lesson, and you would have showed, again, the same as last season. When they've had that wee lesson to learn, then they've basically come back and they've started giving me severe damage. So, and especially, I think Williams is a fantastic player. But just to get back a wee bit on what was my point before that about Alfredo Morelos, I think the way you're going to do fantastic things, Roger, right?
It's
not just about he's no scored against Celtic. He's no scored any cup semi-final winning goals or cup final winning goals in nearly big games.
He was the top scorer in the Europa League, though, James. Surely that counts for something.
Of course it does, but right, see, when you actually look at the quality, so the quality against quantity, right? He scored about 10 goals against, what was it, St. Joseph's or somewhere?
Wasn't as many as that, James.
He scored nearly 10 goals between two teams. I think there was one of the games when he scored 5 or 6 goals against St. Joseph's and then another one. As I say, I think the boy's a fantastic player, but you actually look at the facts that matter, you know. The boy might be doing damage, but he's still not done it in any of the real big games.
Your version of facts, James, allows you to mention the fact of St. Joseph's as being a small game, but you completely fail to mention games against Porto, which would surely, by anyone's standard, go down as a big game.
I was just about to say that, given this season, he has done it in a couple of the Europa League games. He's produced a couple of big goals, so granted, that given that need out, as I say, I think he's a fantastic player, and I would say a lot of Rangers supporters before they were even on the bandwagon room, I was like, just wait for that boy, he's going to do damage. So, and I've got no doubt in the future he's going to go and do even bigger damage in all different types of levels, you know what I mean, international level. You know, I've not got any doubt about that, but I'm talking about the facts of the matter now. Everybody keeps on going on about how he's better than Edouard, but he's no, Edouard is doing it.
The fact of the matter is, we are 3 minutes late for the travel. But thank you to James and Clyde Bank, 01419511025. Good time to get the call in because we could be speaking to you after we hear from Stephen.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL is here. Roger Hanna's alongside him. You can get in touch in two ways. The first one is on the phone, and also we're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. And Scotty McHugh has just been in touch. He sent us a tweet, and I'm starting to wonder, sort of looking over my shoulder to see if Scotty McHugh can see the bit of paper I've got in front of me, because I had just scribbled this down to mention after the break. And right on cue, Scotty says, "Great to see a young Scottish lad doing so well for Chelsea. Huge congrats to Billy Gilmour." Now this is the news today. If you've not seen it, Chelsea making quite a big deal of it actually, which is nice to see. Chelsea officially announcing, if you like, that Billy Gilmour has moved in to the first team building, they say. So he's been involved in the first team, has played for the first team, but he's now become an official member of the first team squad, if you like. So Chelsea making that announcement today. Still only 18, I think, Roger. And great to see. I don't think there's any other way of of spinning.
Yeah, oddly enough, he's a player I haven't really seen that much of. You know, he's played so much of his football down there, you know, below first team rankings. Even when he's played with some of the Scotland youth teams, the 21s, I haven't really seen that much of him. You hear fantastic reports about the young lad, and we just hope that, and I'm sure he will, get the best possible grounding down there under Frank Lampard and Jody Morris, and his development will soon enough see him into the senior Scotland.
What a feeling that has gone. She's a young kid starting off. We were the same when I first joined Rangers at 16. You get changed in the away dressing room, and you had to go and chap the door and stand and wait till someone opened it in the first team dressing room. And your thoughts were always, I want to get in that dressing room, I want to be a part of that. Unfortunately, it never happened for me. No, I get in for a couple of months and then I get put back out. But well done to a young lad. What a confidence boost he'll get from that.
And I don't know, Roger, something about the way that it's happened that gives you that belief that Chelsea really, really fancy him and really believe in what he can do, because he's already played for the first team on a handful of occasions. But the way they've sort of announced this, if you like, they seem very keen to attract everyone to the fact that they believe he's a real prospect.
It's not that long ago he signed another big long term contract, so they clearly see a prosperous future for Billy Gilmour down there. It was noticeable for me that Chelsea in January, despite the fact that the transfer embargo was lifted, they didn't go out. Now I dare say they did look for players and maybe just deals couldn't be done, but they didn't flood the place with new signings. I think Frank Lampard is keen to allow a lot of the young talent to be exposed to the first team, you know, be that Mason Mount and Tammy Abraham, or be it Billy Gilmour.
I mean, they always say, you know, you should never get carried away, you should never put too much pressure on these young guys. And then also I'm wondering, will we see him at Euro 2020 playing for Scotland? So it's just, it's about finding that balance. 01419511025. Robert is a Rangers fan, he's from Lark Hall. How are you tonight, Robert?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Not a problem.
For me, every time Rangers play on any of these 4G pitches, I absolutely wince, because I just think, not even just Rangers, even Celtic as well, every time they play in these pitches, it's always a hard, hard game. And it's a bit of a leveller in terms of class players from Rangers and Celtic playing the likes of Kilmarnock, obviously Livingston, Hamilton. And that for me, Tynecastle's always hard, Aberdeen's hard, they lift their game. But for me, it's every time they play in these terrible pitches.
So tomorrow obviously comes into that then, Robert. Your Rangers side go to Kilmarnock tomorrow. Is that's a fixture that you are not overly confident with then, based on what you're saying?
Well, I'm always confident when Rangers play, but you always think to yourself, oh, here we go again, because it's very, very difficult in terms of playing on these pitches. And let's be honest, I mean, not just with Rangers but also with Celtic, these teams always up their game, and the pitch is always a bit of a leveller.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Kilmarnock's form, Roger, and it's better now than it was, which wouldn't be hard because they were on an absolutely horrendous run. Managed to get that goalless draw up at Aberdeen in the Cup, a 3-2 win away at Hearts before that, you know, beating Ross County. So they seem to have steadied the ship a bit. Will they have to channel their inner Stevie Clark, if you like, to do what they did to Celtic and Rangers there last season? Is that the blueprint, if you like, going back to that?
Yeah, of course, well, because when you take on Rangers, even when Rangers go to Rugby Park, not just the Ibrox games, Rangers are going to dominate the ball. Rangers are going to have more possession than Kilmarnock have. Rangers will have more territory than Kilmarnock have. So Kilmarnock will need to be defensively diligent and will need to try and attack Rangers on the break, you know, whatever opportunity they have. Maybe they'll try and prosper from set pieces with the likes of Del Fabbro and Broadfoot, Johnson or Bruce, whoever plays at the back, big guys going up. But they will have to channel their inner Stevie Clark. It's noticeable since Alec Dyer has taken charge. They are, what's the word I'm looking for, maybe more pragmatic than they were under Angelo Alessio. Kilmarnock fans can phone the show and tell us whether they like that or they don't like it. What they will like is the fact they can go to Tynecastle, score three goals and win. They can come from behind against Ross County, score three goals and win. They can go to Pittodrie, play five at the back, get a clean sheet, bring Aberdeen back down the road for a cup replay. So the Kilmarnock fans will like that form. I think it's a bigger test though when Rangers come to town tomorrow night.
Robert, just on the specifically the game tomorrow, the big personnel news, if you like, from Stephen Gerrard today was that Borna Barisic is a doubt. He's a sort of 50-50. How important has he become all of a sudden? You know, at the start of the season you might not have bothered too much, quite frankly, if he was 50-50 for a game like this. But I'm guessing now you'd be a bit more concerned.
Yeah, I'm always concerned, but I think the biggest player for Rangers is Morelos. And I think if we actually, well, it's already been kind of proven as such, if we miss out on him, he gives us the engine of the team in terms of running about and hassling players and taking abuse off players and taking abuse off fans, etc. And I think for me, we miss Barisic. We don't have a natural left back. But Morelos, for me, I actually worry more every time he's actually missing. And as I say, the boy takes a lot of abuse. And he's done, I'd like to speak about Edouard and also Morelos in terms of...
make it quick if you can, Robert. The news is approaching, but on you go.
I will, but both world-class players. And I think we should enjoy both of these players, because they are absolute world class. But Morelos, I think, for me, edges it in the fact of the boy takes so much abuse of not just fans, but also pundits. Isn't that right, Roger?
is that right, Roger?
No, I was aimed at you. My name's not Roger.
I think I've praised Morelos to the hilt in the first hour of the show. He's a very, very talented player. 29 goals. I think he could hit 30 tomorrow night. Nobody's hit 40 since Ali McCoist, 92-93, when he got the European Golden Boot. Sitting here on the 11th of February, you're looking at 3 months of the season still to go. I don't think there's any problem. I think he could breach the 40 goals this season.
Very quickly, Gordon, what about Barisic? How important has he become? Because only a couple of weeks ago we saw what happened when Tavernier were out. Rangers fans kept calling in and saying they missed him greatly. Would the same apply on the other side?
Yeah, definitely. Big miss. And away from home tomorrow night, you're looking at, is Halliday the man to come in there? Will he bring in Flanagan, for instance? Because he may just say, look, we'll attack down the right hand side with Tavernier. Flanagan sits in, does more a defensive role. But I think Barisic, yes, definitely a big miss for Rangers.
It's that time of the night.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, your chance to win a signed ball, but you need to get on here first and show that you can answer more questions right than Roger Hanna or Gordon DL. If you fancy stepping up to the plate tonight, it's a very simple process. 0141 951 1025. Dial that number and dial it before the news at 7, and it could be you trying to beat the Pundit tonight.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here. We're building up to one big game in the Premiership tonight. The rest follow tomorrow. But in the next 40 minutes or so, you'll have kickoff between Hamilton Accies and Aberdeen. It's not a night for the faint-hearted, so we've sent our intrepid reporter David Galloway. David Galloway, I give him his formal name as well. He's usually just Dave on the show. Call him David tonight. We're going to speak to Dave in the not-too-distant future and give you team news and build up to that game. So let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Roger Hanna got all excited before the break there because I didn't mention that he usually starts on minus one. That means absolutely nothing. You still definitely start on minus one. I just forgot to mention it. But it might not be you. It might be Gordon DL. It will definitely be Mark from Uddingston. How are you tonight, Mark?
I'm good. How are you guys? All right?
Not too bad at all. Right, feeling confident, Mark?
No, there's no Roger there, no. but no, just back to Gordon, the question earlier. I totally agree with Gordon DL. I think Livingston's the hardest away ground as a Celtic supporter for us. I don't know, beat them there since he came back.
Did he put you up to this phoning in and agreeing with him?
No, no,
that's fine.
That's
good man. Absolutely.
A ball on its way, Mark. A ball on its way.
I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, it's Roger minus one. And if it's tails, it's Gordon DL. Oh, and it's your wee pal, it's Gordon. Phone didn't agree with him, now you're going to have to go to battle with him. Gordon against Mark in Uddingston. So let's give Gordon DL something else. The button's worked, right, Mark? He can't hear you anymore. You've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Gordon. If you've never played this before, it's pretty simple. No real rules, but you can pass. That's what you need to know. So if you need to pass it, do it and move on to the next one, okay?
Yeah, no worries.
Good man, your time starts now. Where did Ali McCoist begin his playing career?
St Johnstone.
How many points separate Celtic and Rangers in the league?
7.
Who is the captain of Kilmarnock?
Dicker.
Which French team was Odson Edouard loaned out to whilst at PSG?
Toulouse.
Which Scottish international is currently in the Cardiff team?
Callum Parson.
What decade did Partick Thistle last play in a competitive European match?
The 70s.
What is the nickname of Falkirk?
The Bairns.
How many league trophies did Magic Zaravsky win with Celtic?
2.
Okay. You ready, Gordon?
I don't like the smile on your face. Yeah, go.
I don't mean anything by it. I'm just happy to see you, that's all.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Same set of questions to you, let's go. Where did Ali McCoist begin his playing career?
St Johnstone.
How many points separate Celtic and Rangers in the league?
7.
Who is the captain of Kilmarnock?
Dicker.
Which French team was Odson Edouard loaned out to whilst at PSG?
Lyon.
Which Scottish international is currently in the Cardiff team?
Cardiff team? Paterson.
What decade did Partick Thistle last play in a competitive European match?
70s.
What is the nickname of Falkirk?
The Bairns.
How many league trophies did Magic Zaravsky win with Celtic?
2.
Okay.
Let's see.
What do you think, Mark?
Just a bit same answer, somewhere less.
What do you think I was smiling at?
You were smiling because you thought I was going to get absolutely done in here tonight. And you're still smiling, which...
I sometimes smile, though, if the contestant got 0 as well, because I know how you take it.
Mark's not got a 0.
I know for a fact I never get 0.
This could be tight here, is it?
Game of the season so far.
I thought you were laughing because one of the questions was about a decade.
Oh, that's funny as well.
I nearly had a heart attack with that one.
Where did Ali McCoist begin his playing career? St Johnstone. You both got it.
Oh no, Mark.
How many points separate Celtic and Rangers in the league? 7. You both got it. Who's the captain of Kilmarnock? Gary Dicker. You both got it.
Oh jeez.
I'm going to come back to the fourth question a bit later on.
Oh.
Which Scottish international is currently in the Cardiff team? Callum Paterson. You both got it. What decade did Partick Thistle last play in a competitive
60s.
European match? None of you got it.
60s.
It was the 90s. The Intertoto Cup.
Oh no.
What is the nickname of Falkirk? The Bairns. You both got it. How many league trophies did Magic Zaravsky win with Celtic? You both got it wrong. You both said 2. The answer was 3.
Oh, this so is good.
Level.
What is number 4 again?
Back to question 4.
What is it?
Which French team was Odson Edouard loaned out to whilst at PSG? Gordon said Lyon.
No.
Mark said Toulouse.
That's Toulouse.
And the answer is Toulouse. Well done.
Oh, brilliant, Mark.
He did say at the top of the hour, Mark, there's a ball on its way in 5 minutes. He was absolutely correct.
Mark,
well done.
Brilliant. That's one of the performances of the season on the phones, Mark. Well done.
What was your final scorer?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It was 6-5.
Yeah.
What a game.
I do it at home. You think it's easy when you're sitting at home, but
not for you.
6.
Glad it was the Roger.
Stop glowing.
He gets 10 when he's at home. He only managed 6 tonight. Brilliant. Well done, Mark, in Uddingston. And I can tell you that makes you the level worst pundit of 2020.
What do you mean worst pundit? I've only lost 2 in
exactly.
September. So September.
I said 2020.
Forget 2020.
I know your grasp of years is a bit ropey.
And I'm very fair when it comes to even losing it, right?
John,
I'm very
fair, Roger. Lost this decade.
Exactly.
But let me say something. I'm sure Mark could help there, Roger. I could hear somebody in the background.
I couldn't hear anything you were listening to.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Well done, Mark and Uddingston. The sign ball is on its way. 6 is a good score. Come on, and
by the way, you know the worst
six
it is
very good.
Do you know the worst of this is, right? Guess who's listening to this show tonight?
The Mushroom.
The Mushroom. He will be honestly
slaughtered
jumping over a couch and everything.
Check your phone, he'll be texting already.
Oh, guaranteed.
Oh, what a game that was. It was an 11 goal thriller. We can't promise you that at the Foyes Stadium, but we can promise you a game. Certainly, Dave Galloway is looking ahead to Hamilton against Aberdeen.
Thanks, Gordon. Good evening. Well, ahead of this game, Hamilton boss Brian Rice has called for wind meters to be used in Scottish football, and it's certainly windy here this evening and very cold for a meeting of two teams without a victory in the last five matches. Accies, sitting second bottom, are desperate to pick up points with tonight's game, followed by a visit to bottom of the table, Hearts, on Saturday. Plenty incentive for the Dons. Also, victory would see them overtake Motherwell to go third in the table, and also ease pressure on manager Derek McInnes, whose teams come under increasing scrutiny thanks to a run that's led to some fans calling for his sacking. Failure to score here tonight would set a club record of six successive games without finding the net. And of course, McInnes's men could also do with a lift, with Celtic coming to Pittodrie on Sunday lunchtime. Let's run through the teams then. Hamilton makes six changes. Hunt, Alston, Woods, Templeton, Martin and Ogbo come in for Hamilton, Dales, Smith, Collar, Davies and Winter. So it's Luke Southwood in goals, then it's Aaron McGowan, Scott McMahon, Johnny Hunt, Blair Alston, Sam Woods, Alex Gogic, David Templeton, Brian Easton, Scott Martin and Marius Ogbo. Then the substitutes for Accies: Gourlay, Collar, Davies, Winter, Moyo, Want and Smith. A very interesting team selection for Aberdeen as well, because Main, McGeoch and McLennan come in, outdrop Logan, Campbell and Cosgrove. The top scorer for Aberdeen is certainly not firing on all cylinders at the moment, that is for sure. Joe Lewis in goals. The outfield players, Andy Considine, Scott McKenna, Mikey Devlin, Curtis Main, Niall McGinn, Dylan McGeoch, Conor McLennan, Lewis Ferguson, Funzo Ojo and Matty Kennedy. Substitutes for the Dons: Cherney, Logan, Hernandez, Hedges, Cosgrove, Campbell and Anderson. And your match referee here at the Accies Stadium, it's Greg Aitken.
Brilliant, thank you very much to Dave Galloway. No doubt about it, the headline team news: Sam Cosgrove dropped to the bench and replaced by Curtis Main.
Yeah, it's an odd Aberdeen team as well. No, what you would say, orthodox right back there. It looks as if the width might come from McGinn and Kennedy, or McLennan and Kennedy. Does that push McGinn further on alongside Main if it is McLennan and Kennedy in sort of wing back role? So it's an unusual Aberdeen lineup. And of course, the headline story is no Sam Cosgrove. To an extent, it's like Celtic leaving out Edward or Rangers leaving out Morelos.
It is an interesting one, Gordon, and you can clearly see both sides, because Aberdeen haven't scored in five games. Mm. They're on a terrible run, and you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. So fair play to Derek McInnes. He's trying to change it. He's trying to make something happen. On the other hand, if you've not scored in five games, people may question why you would leave a 21 goal striker on the bench. But he's not been in the best run of form since the turn of the year, so time will tell if it's the right decision.
I watched him against Rangers at Ibrox, and he had two terrific chances to score, Gordon, and he looked a player that wasn't, had a lot of confidence in that day, and he's not scoring goals. But I was always a great believer that your top goal scorer, keep him in the team. He's no disrespect to Curtis Main, he's a bigger threat than Curtis Main. He's 21 goals, as you said, this season. I think you've got to keep him in the team. I totally understand why Derek McInnes decided to say, well, Curtis Main's been sitting waiting for his chance. Cosgrove's not putting the ball in the back of net. It might just be a little case of saying, right, I'm going to look for a response off of you, because I've put you on the bench. You're not guaranteed your place every week. But when you come under a bit of pressure, especially from the Aberdeen fans just now, not scoring goals, it's a big, big decision from the manager, and we'll know by the end of the game if he called it right or not.
Yeah, on the other hand though, if you're trying to get Sam Cosgrove to rediscover that form, maybe you have to take him out the firing line, maybe you have to do something, try and get his hunger back, let him know that he's not undroppable.
Yeah, it could be, Gordon, it could be. You can have a sense with your players, you know, during the training and watching them. And yeah, sometimes it's good to say, you know what, you're not guaranteed to walk into the dressing room, pick up your strip and go out there and just try and perform and score goals. You're going to have to work for it. But I just think with the way Aberdeen are just now, no goals, this is probably a night they'll create a lot of chances. And, you know, I think Cosgrove, I just think it's a massive call.
Oh, it's certainly a massive call, Roger. We won't know for sure really until the end of the evening. The incentives there are clear for both sides. As Dave Galloway mentions, for all the McInnes out brigade, and they're not, that's not to say that they're wrong, Aberdeen can go third tonight in a position which, let's be honest, most people would say that's what's expected. They're 3 points behind Motherwell, level in goal difference. A win would put them third. And for Hamilton, it's really about trying to pull away from Hearts. They're only 1 point above them at the moment at the bottom.
Yeah, when we put them third, they're still in the Scottish Cup. They've got to play Kilmarnock next week. It's not doom, gloom and despondency all around Pittodrie. I think it says a lot for Derek McInnes and the levels he has maintained in his 7 years in the job, that what you've seen in the last month or 6 weeks is now deemed a crisis for Aberdeen. And yet, as we say, you know, they'll go third in the league and they're still in the Scottish Cup. He's done a very, very good job over a lengthy period of time at Aberdeen. It's a big call tonight to leave out Cosgrove. You two boys probably have seen more of Curtis Main over the years than I have. He's not really had much of a chance, purely because of the form of Cosgrove. He's found it nigh on impossible to get into the team. This is maybe the night for Curtis Main.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at Aberdeen's plight at the moment. We heard from Stephen Gerrard earlier talking about how happy he is that it looks like the goal scoring burden is being lifted from just Morelos and Defoe. He's talking about other players chipping in, and surely the same has to apply to Aberdeen, because all the focus is on Sam Cosgrove. He's not scored in 5 matches, so all of a sudden he goes out of the team, Curtis Main comes in. But what about thereafter? I mean, Niall McGinn's got 4 goals this season. You'd be hoping for a bit more from
him. What's Ferguson got there, Gord?
Lewis Ferguson in the league this season has got one.
One.
He's got one league goal this season.
Yeah, if you're going to be serious, and you know, it's okay saying okay, finish third in the league or challenge for third in the league, because Motherwell have a bit of a say in that Scottish Cup. They've not scored in 5 games. You've got to be looking at goals elsewhere. That's why Rangers and Celtic are way out in front. They've got, especially Celtic, they've got goals all over the pitch. Celtic, Rangers now with Stephen Gerrard now saying, with Arfield trying to chip in with a few. You need other players rather than just depending on your sole striker. The great thing for Celtic supporters and Neil Lennon just now is it's not the fact that just Edward, he's got another striker up top and Griffiths, and Griffiths knows where the back of net is as well, so they share that burden. You're right, I think that Cosgrove's paid the price for probably his own success, but it might be a terrific judgment call by McInnes just to say, you're going to sit there, you're going to earn the right.
I'm just looking at the other attacking options, if you like, Roger, and I don't mean to hold this against these players because some of them haven't played that much, but I'm talking about the options, just the options that they have in terms of attackers. Lewis Ferguson, one league goal. John Gallagher, 1 league goal. Ryan Hedges has got 4. Niall McGinn, 4, like we mentioned. Conor McLennan, 1 as well. So there's no one really behind Sam Cosgrove.
And they used to spread the goals out so well. You know, you remember Gary Mackay-Steven used to chip in, Kenny McLean would chip in, Johnny Hayes would chip in, Graham Shinney, you know, used to come up with a goal. The defenders used to score quite a lot.
Considine's, you know, not doing too badly. He's got a couple again.
Considine would always score. Shea Logan, during his time at Aberdeen, has got a reasonable goal scoring record. But all of it seems to have dried up this season. It's either been Cosgrove or nothing. And now that Cosgrove's dried up, there's a real problem for Aberdeen.
Let's hear from both managers then, starting with the home boss, Brian Rice.
Very, very difficult, you know. We've took two 4-1 defeats against the Old Firm. But I couldn't ask any more of my players. You know, Rangers and Celtic grind you down. They grind you down. We're still in the game, long, long periods yet. But their quality and what they do, they grind you down. Now, Aberdeen are a good team. People are going on about they've no scored. So Aberdeen are a really good team. Derek's done a fantastic job up there. You know, getting to finals, semi-finals, second, third in the league. You know, and it becomes expected then. It becomes expected then. So I know how difficult it will be.
I need to remind myself we're in a position to go third, and that's not always been the case, you know. And I know we've been up there second and third and for the vast majority of my time here. But we are, as I say, in a position where if we can get those improvements in that final bit, I feel as though we're going to have a stronger end to the season than what we're currently going through. But it is tough, and FIBA's like that at times, and it probably, you know, the fact that we're You know, we're probably judged in the same kind of scale as a Hibs and a Hearts. Both of the clubs would grab our league position in it. They would grab the opportunity to go third. And while we're no satisfied with our lot at the minute, we can clearly see we need so much to improve upon. But we're going for third spot this season, and I believe we'll get there.
7:45 kick-off at the Foy Stadium, Hamilton Accies against Aberdeen. We'll keep you up to speed if anything happens in the opening stages, and of course all the post-match reaction on tomorrow night's show. Right, it's almost time for the full-time teaser. Now, if you've got good football knowledge, you're definitely going to need good footballing knowledge. You're going to need to know your managers.
Yes.
And you might even need to know managers in Scotland and out with as well. That's just a flavour of what's coming up in the teaser. We'll get it up and running next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
A difficult full-time teaser for the guys tonight. If you want to take part, we'd love to have your answers, so send them in at Clyde SSB. See if you can beat Roger and Gordon to get them all, because you need quite a few tonight. 13, I'm afraid. Since 1992, can you name 13 managers who have had two spells in charge of the same club in Scotland or England's top flight? Since 92, 13 managers have had two spells in charge of the same club in England's or Scotland's top flight.
David Moyes.
Let me finish. A couple of things to bear in mind.
Okay.
John Smith sent tonight's question in, and it doesn't include Hearts, because Hearts had a weird managerial merry-go-round, didn't they? And I think that's probably why he's left them out. He hasn't said exactly why, but it says not including Hearts, and caretaker slash interim managers don't count.
David Moyes, no.
Well done, Daz.
With
West Ham.
Yes.
Walter Smith.
Yes.
And Neil Lennon.
Yes.
This is easy.
So far.
So when he, I know exactly what John Smith means about Hearts. Even Craig Levein.
Craig Levein.
Yeah, just forget Hearts altogether.
Forget Hearts,
yeah, I think
altogether.
So, yeah.
Right, that's fine.
So he says since 92, but not including Hearts, 13 managers have had two spells in charge of the same club in Scotland's or England's top flight.
What about Jockey Scott?
No.
I thought he'd been Dundee more than
one. Robinson was caretaker, wasn't he?
Stephen Robinson, yeah. He's not one. But funny you should say that. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson. Look,
yeah,
at that.
Put him on.
Brilliant. That's the smoothest transition you've ever come up with in the show. He says it's time for the club to build for the future. After they cleared their external debts, the club received loans totalling £80,000 to help pay off former owners John Boyle and Les Hutchison. That was then paid off after they sold one of your favourites, James Scott, to Hull. And Robinson says the future is looking bright.
Every time we sold a player or we got to a cup final, it was always, well, we'll have to pay off the debts again, you know, debts that, you know, a lot of people here weren't involved in at the time. But, you know, historic debts kept holding the club back, in my opinion. And I think now it's a time to build again, to invest in the playing squad, the infrastructure, the ground, the training ground, you know, our training ground and our academy. As much as we've done so well from it, it needs to be upgraded massively to continue to try and attract players and go forward. And, you know, as a manager, I won't stand still. I want to keep trying to push the club forward. Alan Burrows wants to keep pushing the club forward, as do the board. So I'm sure they'll have a plan for the next 5 to 10 years. They've done what they said. Fantastic credit to everybody involved. You know, we, as a football club, we've made a lot of money through selling players and being relatively successful on the pitch as well, backed by the Well Society. So it's now time to move on. It's now time to start building again and try and keep the club where it is and within our means, keep building.
Hayden is a Motherwell fan from Paisley. Is that something that excites you, Hayden, looking forward to the future without the debt hanging over you?
Yeah, good evening, Gordon. Yeah, I think it's brilliant. One of the things I wanted to say was, I know that, you know, we've lost a lot of sort of really good young players. Well, we've lost them, we've made a lot of money from them. But one of the people that I think doesn't get the credit it deserves is Alan Burrows at Motherwell. I think the job he's done is phenomenal, and he will be the biggest loss. Hopefully the day doesn't come, but if the day does come, a bigger company, maybe not even necessarily in football, but come to pinch him, because I think the job he's done is incredible, to be honest with you.
It makes an interesting point about you don't want to see your players leaving. No one does. But there absolutely has to be a realisation now that actually football's changed and the market's changed, and particularly clubs like Motherwell. That's how you succeed. That's how you become debt free, really, is by effective player trading. Because we don't have the prize money, we don't have the TV deal. But if you can sell James Scott, Cedric Kiprey, Ben Hennigan, Louis Moult, Marvin Johnson, etc., etc., that's, whilst not jeopardising the product on the pitch too much, that's how you become an efficient club.
Yeah, and it's a sensible business model for a club of Motherwell's size. You know, I've spoken to Alan Burrows many times about this in the past, you know, the sale of players, the importance to the club of cup runs, and, you know, any football club's finances, there's a lot of it are imponderables. You don't know how far you're going to get in the cup. You don't know, you know, who's going to come in and try and buy your players. But as long as you can keep producing players, and, you know, the likes of James Scott at some stage was going to be sold on. He's probably ended up being sold to Hull City earlier in his development than people at Motherwell might have suspected he would. But they've come in with, basically with an offer that Motherwell couldn't refuse. A bit like the offer that Celtic made for David Turnbull before the deal went down last summer. David Turnbull, once fit, later in the spring, will come back into the team. If he can reach the heights he did pre-injury, then he'll be the next one to be sold, you know, maybe to Celtic, maybe to someone else. And that sustains Motherwell again. And the key to happiness for Motherwell, and they've managed to tick this box so far, as to keep producing them. You know, there was Turnbull, then there was Scott, and there'll be more off that production line.
And then, Gordon, Alan Burrows absolutely does deserve praise, as Hayden says, but he would probably be the first to mention that it's a collective effort. You've got that process from the scouting department, the guys that identify these players, Stephen Robinson would be part of that, then bringing them in, the coaching staff making them good players, and this applies to youth players as well, then even down to small things like the way they promote the players through their very effective social media channels and all the rest of it. So there's a real collective effort there to try and market these players.
Well, you know, Alan Burrows knows the club inside out, Gordon. He's a fantastic ambassador for the football club, you've got to say. Terrific guy as well. The job that he does there, he's a part of the team. You know, it always strikes me, he's not one of these guys that tries to puff his chest out. He's quite happy to roll up his sleeves and do a bit of work and get on with it and support the people that matter, the manager, the coaching staff, the players, everyone concerned. He's just a fan. He loves the club. And the caller's right. What an absolutely magnificent job this guy's done. And I hope personally that he never leaves there, because he's been absolutely terrific for Motherwell. But you never know, because you see other clubs and they must sit up and take notice of the job that he has achieved at Motherwell Football Club.
Hayden, what's next then? Is this about the club trying to properly grow as a club? I know when people think that, you know, making good business deals and sorting the money situation out, the automatic thought for fans is, okay, what players do we bring in? And what does it mean for the first team directly? But having heard Stephen Robinson, Alan Burrows and so on in the past, maybe time to think about a training ground. The day may come when relocating from Fir Park or upgrading Fir Park might have to come into the equation. Are these the types of things that the club will be thinking about?
Yeah, I think it's going to need to be, because God, I remember way back when I was at college and there was people went to Motherwell Football Club. I went to the Motherwell College and they were talking about how they were having to be concerned about the main stand, because it's basically made of wood, and that was about 10 years ago. So yeah, I think the day that upgrades will need to come eventually. But I mean, even just some of the small changes that we've made over the past few seasons, like doing away with the wall at the side of the Phil O'Donnell stand and getting new scoreboards and a new roof in the east stand. I know these sort of things might sound sort of a small change to like Old Firm fans and things like that, but I mean, for a club like Motherwell to be doing that when we don't have sort of a huge amounts of money to be thrown about and paying off debt at the same time is brilliant.
Yeah, you have to do it step by step, Gordon. I think that goes without saying. You wonder how, when our smaller clubs, so to speak, when they go about that player recruitment process, I'd imagine having a nice training ground that's yours would play a massive part in that.
I think that's the only thing that's missing, Gordon.
And by the way, there's nothing. The facility at DL Park is great, ticks a lot of boxes, but I just wonder if that will be the next thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. That would just complete the club. I think where you've got to hand all the credit to everyone concerned there is, yeah, they lose their best players. You know, teams come up and buy the younger players with the ability that they've got. Like, say, James Scott was the latest one. But the product in the park is still as good. And I think that's down to great management, great recruitment, everything about it. I just think that Motherwell have got it spot on. I really do. And you're right, I hope that one day that Motherwell have their own training ground.
And before he goes, I need to thank Hayden because he got me thinking about Motherwell, and surely one of the answers in the teaser is Mark McGee.
Yes, it is Mark McGee. Well done, Hayden. That was your parting gift to Roger Hannah and Gordon Dale. That was Hayden, a Motherwell fan from Paisley. Mark McGee is an answer. Well done.
I've got the 40 here, Roger.
Well, you only need another.
Mourinho at Chelsea.
Ah, oh, come on, you can't steal my thunder.
Oh, sorry, Daz.
Yes.
Mourinho at Chelsea.
Daz told me that.
Right. Dalglish Liverpool?
No.
Right. Kevin Keegan? Newcastle?
Yes. Well done.
Right. Hold on. I'm going for managers. Tony Pulis must be one.
No.
Neil Warnock?
No.
Sam Allardyce?
No.
Harry Redknapp?
Right, that's too many. Yes. At Portsmouth.
Definitely.
Right, we'll leave it there because you're only looking for another six. I think you've plenty of time to get them. Let's take another call from John in Coatbridge. Hi, John.
Evening, Gordon and Roger.
Hey, John.
I was just saying to Gordon earlier on there, do you think it's time Lee Griffiths is brought back into the Scotland squad now? Because as we know, that's what we're crying out for, a striker, you know what I mean? And it's good that Stephen Naismith maybe's coming back to a bit of form too. So I think with the two of them coming back and the wee man's getting the goals again, I think it's looking no bad for us, you know what I mean? What do you think?
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. Both Griffiths and Naismith, I think Naismith did very well latterly for Steve Clarke at the tail end of last year before one of his injuries. But Griffiths is probably, well, undoubtedly more of a goal threat than Naismith. Maybe even, you know, have a team with Naismith just off him or something. But it would certainly give Steve Clarke far more options. Interesting to see Oliver Burke, first Scot in, was it 33 years to score in La Liga at the weekend when he scored for Alaves. Oliver McBurney again, enormous praise for Sheffield United on Sunday when they beat Bournemouth to go fifth in the English Premier League. So we are beginning to get a few more attacking options, and I think the return to fitness, you know, Ryan Jack could be back in the Rangers team tomorrow. Scott McTominay's back in training at Manchester United. I think they're talking John McGinn's targeting the Carabao Cup final for Villa against Man City in the 1st of March, which would be 3 weeks before the Euro 2020 playoffs. So the more
Kieran Tierney, did you mention that? Went to Dubai with Arsenal, was running around. And
the more players and the more options at Steve Clarke's disposal, the better.
In the space of a few weeks, Gordon, it's now, has it gone as far as you would say it would be a huge surprise if Griffiths wasn't in the Scotland squad for the playoffs in March?
I think it'd be massive, not huge.
Is that not the same thing?
Yeah, but two different words. I think that Griffiths is probably out of all those players, and it's now that we've got good choices, especially in Midley Park as well, where the players that Roger's saying come back to fitness. But if you go down to natural goal scoring, I think Griffiths is a top out of them all. I know that other ones can bring different things to, you know, depends the way Steve Clarke wants to play, the style he wants to play. But if you're down to chances in the box, who would you rather put your hat on? I would go with Griffiths all day.
John, you're full of praise for Lee Griffiths. Would you keep him in the team tomorrow? Do Celtic stick with this 3-5-2, or do they, well, in fact, when I say stick with it, they ditched it at the weekend. They just played one up front for the cup game against Clyde. Would you like to see Edouard and Griffiths again tomorrow?
The two of them, as you say, they're occupied. I think Gordon and a few of the pundits have said the two of them occupying the centre half, you know what I mean? It gives them something to worry about, you know what I mean? And I don't think Neil Lennon's got a lot of praise for, I mean, not have a lot of people, but he's stuck to it, and he's gave Griffiths the chance, and I think the two of them are really, they're creating a right good understanding with one another now, so I think it's really looking good, you know what I mean? But as I say, that's, I've been on here before, you know what I mean? I think Gordon Griffiths got a chance. Now he's got his chance. He seems to be, he's maybe not hitting the top for him yet, but I think he's, it'll come, you know what I mean? It's going to come, but the more games he gets under his belts, the better, you know what I mean? Can I make one point before I go as well, guys?
Sure.
See, you seen the boy that was on earlier on, the Kilmarnock fan, on about, I mean, you guys gave Morelos a lot of praise too, as well as Edward. But that guy, tell the guy if he comes on again, we only paid $450,000 for Dembele. What did he go for? Just a wee afterthought there for the guy, you know what I mean?
Fair point. It's a fair point. This is the sort of rabbit hole you end up down, Roger. There is nothing to be gained by constantly comparing him to, and that transfer fee to his, and then you add in someone else, and we go round in circles. So, you do make a fair point, John.
How much did Man City pay for you?
300,000 or something. Yeah, that was
balls.
It was a record transfer. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Helped build the new stadium.
Fantastic.
When they sold me back.
And then I talk about 50 million for John Stones. And,
changed days.
I honestly, I'd have been worth a right few quid, maybe.
Just finally, on John's point, on a serious note for tomorrow, we will get into in more depth tomorrow because that's, you know, what we do on Wednesday night when it's game night. But guys like El Yunusi, Gordon, where does he fit into the Celtic team if they do stick with 3-5-2?
I think
at the moment is Ryan Christie many people's tip at the start for player of the year. He looked every inch the player of the year while he was fit and available. Is he a substitute until further notice, or?
Yeah, I think I've got to say that, and I'm finding myself very surprised, I have to say that, because I thought that Ryan Christie would have been a stick on for every game. But in Cham, we forget, and Cham's a terrific talent, Gordon. He's a terrific football player. He just needed a run of games, and he's shown it. He's bringing goals to his game as well. I think El Yunusi, with the system that Celtic play, could easily play as the wing back. I think he's
really
got, easily.
Alex Ray was not having that at all last night.
Well, if you've got Forrest playing as a right wing back, why can't you have a guy like El Yunusi with the pace and strength and everything that he's got, can't play as a left wing back? How does that work out then? How does Forrest play as a right wing back when we all know that he's not the greatest defender? But El Yunusi is, because what you've got in that system, Gordon, is you've got Scott Brown that goes and plugs the holes. You've got McGregor in there as well. So you've got people that can go and fill into positions. I think El Yunusi could play left wing back all day long.
JC's not happy with you. You're talking about natural scorers, for natural finishers for Scotland. He says, hello, Shankland, natural finisher. Fair point.
To Griffiths, absolutely no chance. No chance.
He's a natural finisher. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not.
Nice options to have. I think we'll leave it there because we don't have a lot of time. Since 92, not including those at Hearts, 13 managers have had two separate spells in charge of the same club in Scotland or England's top flight. Name them: Kevin Keegan, Neil Lennon, Mark McGee, Jose Mourinho, Davy Moyes, Harry Redknapp, Walter Smith.
Are you sure Neil Warnock's not one there?
Yeah.
They were mentioned in the Beat the Pundit in 90s Intertoto team.
John Lambie.
Thistle.
Who got in there first?
Me.
It was John Lambie, yes.
What about Big Terry Butcher at Inverness?
No. Both spells have to be in the top flight.
Right, okay. There was one this season. Kiki Sanchez Flores went back to Watford, didn't he?
Yeah, brilliant.
1, 2, 3, 4 to get. We'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're into the final part of tonight's show on the home straight, and we are just kicking off between Hamilton and Aberdeen in South Lanarkshire, just inside the opening stages. Nothing happening at all. Remember, big team news though from Aberdeen, dropping Sam Cosgrove. They're trying something different. They've not scored in 5 games, so Curtis Main leads the line tonight. A few other changes as well. Interesting. Well, I say interesting, it's interesting to me. If you're sad with these types of things and you scroll through social media all your days, a lot of the Aberdeen fans on social media, Roger, are actually pretty happy. Not that they say it's all Sam Cosgrove's fault, but they all seem to agree that he needed time out. I was expecting a bit of an angry reaction, but they all seem understanding.
Well, they see more of their Aberdeen team than we do. If they say Cosgrove needs a rest, if they want a change up top, then Derek McInnes has made the right call for them. But interesting to see, we're just trying to establish how they're lining up. Obviously, Curtis Main is the, you know, leading the line, but the likes of Niall McGinn, Matty Kennedy, Conor McLennan, for me, they'll all have a responsibility to get around Curtis Main and try and, you know, take a bit of the scoring burden off him. Looks a wild night in Lanarkshire though.
Yeah, it's an interesting decision that Derek McInnes is going with, and it's very interesting that Aberdeen supporters are probably applauding it. I find it a bit strange, Gordon. I know that he's obviously not hitting the form that he showed earlier in the season, but he's a goal scorer. He scored 21 goals. He's a big threat. It may just be the kick that he needs up the backside to say, right, I need to start fighting for my place. I don't know. I don't watch him every week. But sometimes when you are going through a spell, if you look at Celtic or Rangers, for instance, if they went 5-6 games and Morelos didn't hit the back of the net, I don't think they would drop him. I think they'd keep playing him because he's that big a player for them. But Derek's decided, no, I'm going down the road of giving Curtis Main an opportunity. He's waited for it. He's probably working hard in training. He's shown a good attitude. So it's up to Curtis Main now to say, well, I'll tell you what, he's going to sit on the bench because I'm going to claim the number nine position, as it's called.
And you look at the hail and the sleet pouring down there, Daz. We're just so jealous of Dave Galloway being there covering the game today. We'd love to be there if it wasn't for this show tonight.
I was actually thinking at one point I was going to nip in for the second half
and
see how the red shed and all that.
Two fashionable individuals like yourselves, are you having the gold strip for Aberdeen tonight?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't suit me, Gordon. No. I don't like it. I really don't like that. I think it's quite horrible, actually. Would Aberdeen fans go and buy that? You know, and that's what the second strip's really for, you know, try and get a bit
different. I'd like to see you in that gold strip. I'd like to see...
Well, I think I suit the strip, obviously, I got last year with my name on it.
Yep.
Suit that down to a T. It's very tight-fitting for me. Shows off the physique.
I saw that last time. Is it shrunk in the wash?
No. It's an Italian make.
Okay. On a serious note, Niall McGinn just put the ball down to take a free kick and it blew away. It blew off the spot where it was meant to take it from. They then tried to take it quickly and you could see the ball did actually roll on impact. So I'm not for a second suggesting the game's in any danger, but it's not ideal. I think Gary Holt backed up Brian Rice today, didn't he? He referenced, did I see the quote likening Scott Pittman to a dog chasing the ball around the pitch at the weekend because the wind is just spoiling things?
Yeah, and listen, they're both echoing the remarks of Jim McAnally, the Peterhead manager, at the weekend after their game was abandoned 24 hours after he had warned the SPFL that the game shouldn't go ahead because of the weather forecast. So it's difficult. We do have a lot of football to squeeze into the calendar. It becomes more awkward when the clubs want their winter break in January, but you know, the spectacle we had, I was down at Ayr at the weekend and, you know, the old stand at Somerset Park was shaking, and I don't need to tell Daz about that structure. It was shaking in the wind of Storm Ciara. So I think sometimes there needs to be a bit of common sense. We only seem to postpone games with waterlogged pitches or frozen pitches and never take into account the overhead conditions.
Yeah, I do agree. And the ones that I've got to applaud, Gordon, I'm looking at a TV screen here. And there's the supporters that come out in the nightless. Yeah. How difficult, you know, you come home from work maybe, you look outside, you see conditions, you say, oh, it's a great chance. Oh, he's got to do better than that for me.
Yeah, David Templeton into the box. He's taking a bit of a sore one, actually. Joe Lewis came out to try and clear the danger. And that's the closest we've come in the opening stages. Still Hamilton 0, Aberdeen 0. Let's just finish with a bit of transfer news today, actually. We don't get much outside the window. But Ross Wallace has signed for St Mirren. Roger, is that one that you think could make a positive impact to the buddies?
Yeah, I think was he at Fleetwood, was his last club down south. He came back up the road, he had a trial at Dundee earlier in the new year. Didn't agree terms up there, so I knew Jim Goodwin was looking for a player, looking to add someone extra because of the problems he's had in fullback areas, really. So it'd be interesting to see where Ross plays. Callum, you know, it's very much left-sided. Callum Waters has been there. Whether one of them is versatile enough to go over to the right side where he's had all his problems, we'll find out. As Daz was saying earlier, they're at Livingston tomorrow night. So we'll find out soon enough.
Clearly a great pedigree. Gordon started at Celtic, as many people will know. Racked up good numbers of appearances for Sunderland and Preston, loads for Burnley and then Sheffield Wednesday. Clearly it's of late that's been a bit of an issue. Only managed 4 appearances this season, and they were all way back in August for Fleetwood. But an experienced campaigner, good CV.
I said earlier about the size of squads with the games coming thick and fast, Gordon. I think it's a good experienced player added to the squad. I think that's a decent bit of business by Jim Goodwin and St Mirren. I think he's a decent enough player. He's still always, every time I watched him, he looked a very fit lad as well. So yeah, I think that's a good bit of business.
Yeah, 34 years of age, Ross Wallace. So we'll watch with interest to see how he gets on at St Mirren. We're just seeing that chance back. David Templeton through, tries to lift it over Joe Lewis. There is then a collision. Has the Aberdeen keeper done much wrong?
Not too much. I don't think the Hamilton players were claiming for a penalty. Certainly Templeton wasn't claiming for a penalty. It was one of those, Templeton got there first, shot was off target, and you know, there was, as you say, a collision between the two.
Okay, let's try and round off tonight's teaser before we go. We have 4 answers to get. Now, just something to try and flag up to you, we're always in the lookout for your questions. We love reading your questions out. So if you've got questions and you want to hear them on the show, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. So tonight, since 92, but not including Hearts, 13 managers have had 2 spells in charge of the same club in Scotland or England's top flight. caretakers don't count. So Kike Sanchez Flores at Watford, Kevin Keegan at Newcastle, John Lambie at Partick, Neil Lennon Celtic, Mark McGee Motherwell, Jose Mourinho Chelsea, Davey Moyes West Ham, Harry Redknapp Portsmouth, Walter Smith Rangers. You've got four to get.
I'm struggling.
Jim Leishman?
No. They must be in the top flight for both spells, remember.
Derek Adams?
No.
What about Peter Reid at Sunderland?
No. Oh. You've got two Scottish clubs, two English clubs.
They're scratching about now. Jim Duffy isn't one, is he?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you Roger.
Dundee just... in the mid 90s and the early 2000s.
Yeah, I was just going to see Duffy.
One more Scottish club, two more English. We're going way back for the English ones, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Who's way back?
Right, what about the Scottish one? This club is no longer in the top flight, mm-hmm. but they were in the two spells when this guy was in charge. You should get it, Gordon.
I should get it?
Yep.
Oh, Jimmy Nicol?
No.
Oh.
Close. You're getting warmer.
John Hughes?
No.
Raith Rovers?
Alex Smith?
No.
Raith Rovers?
Jimmy Thompson?
The club is Inverness.
Oh.
Craig Brewster?
Ah.
Craig Brewster. And the last one, an English club. Will
two
I give
more.
You. Oh, sure you do. Everton. Early Joe 90s.
Royal.
Early 90s. Even before that, I think.
Howard Kendall.
Yes.
Well done, Daz.
And the one that's going even furthest back for the first spell is Crystal Palace.
Crystal. No.
Steve Coppell.
Yep. Well done. Okay, we got there in the end. Thank you, Roger and Gordon. It's goalless between Hamilton and Aberdeen. We'll give you all the post-match reaction on tomorrow night's show. And five big games in the Premiership tomorrow. Cracking fixtures all across the division. So join us from six in the company of Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy. In the meantime, stay right there. Callum Gallagher will look after you.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.